you didn't really know much about spices before me.
But on top of that, there's no actual like, there's no actual timings for things.
I didn't expect it to taste like curry.
Chicken pie.
Spicy.
I like salt and pepper, okay?
Always food on tap.
Hello and welcome back to the Colour Coded podcast, the podcast where we talk about cultures, relationships and just general life. Today's episode is going to be a bit of a fun one.
Yep.
We've had a think about some of our cultural differences. Some of the things we like, some of the things...
We question,
maybe a bit confused about.
Yeah.
Okay, should we get into it?
Let's go. Do you want to do this like tennis?
We'll back and forth.
Back and forth.
Okay. Let's see if we can get through this without an argument starting.
All right.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, you can go first.
Do you want me to go first?
You can go first. Okay. Don't be savage. Start easy.
All right. One thing I didn't really understand until I met you. I remember you used to say, what's for tea? Or she used to say, oh, are you having tea? But this would be like, I thought it was actually a cup of tea. But it's like a meal in between lunch and dinner. So I never understood that.
No, it's not a meal in between lunch and dinner.
What is it then?
It's basically dinner.
An early dinner?
No, my mum just has dinner early. Tea is the northerner version of dinner.
Yeah, but no, because this is where it gets confusing because I heard someone saying tea would be a small meal that they would have straight after school before the main dinner.
Oh.
That's why I thought it was always...
I've just been skipping dinner my whole life then. I've lost out on so many meals.
See, look, it might be, I don't know, but please drop it in the comments.
If you are a northerner...
Help us resolve this.
Or mum, if you're watching.
Because that's what I'm like, oh, now it makes sense. So it's like a small meal to keep you going up until dinner.
So you think it's like the equivalent to like a brunch? In between breakfast and lunch, this is like your equivalent.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not my impression, but somebody let us know. We'll see if we can find out. Yeah. Okay, you ready?
Go on.
On the kind of the food topic.
Yeah, go on.
Why is it normal to eat dinner at like 11, 12 o'clock at night?
No, it's not normal. It's just
on many occasions I've been at my in-laws' house. Or at a dawat, which is like an invitational gathering, and we have eaten exceptionally late.
Yeah, but this is why. So, as you know, in Asian cultures, we're feeders. So you'll be fed from morning all through the day, every hour, every 2 hours, there would always be food coming out. Snacks, food, tea.
But on top of that, there's no actual timings for things.
No.
Like, you don't have lunch at lunchtime. Like, you could say, okay, do you want to come over for lunch? But... In like British culture, I would say that's probably 12:1. That's lunchtime, right? Well, in South Asian culture...
It could be any time between...
It could be 12. It could be 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That would also be lunch.
Yeah. Again, in Asian culture, like I said, we eat throughout the day and there's always food on tap. So you can eat any time you want. We don't really... There's not much of a restriction. That's one thing I've realised as well. Like, in... The white culture, obviously, knowing everything is very structured.
It's true. And I think if I went down when I was a child, if I went down at like 11 o'clock at night and was to cook a big meal, my mum would be like, what are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she wouldn't not feed me. She'd be like, get a snack.
Yeah.
But like eating late at night would not be a thing.
That's the thing, though. In Asian culture, me growing up, we never really had a bedtime. We was told, yes, you should be sleeping a certain time, but we wouldn't be like... instructed, go straight to bed. Turn everything off, go to bed. So we would go to bed when we felt tired.
See, I had a very rigid bedtime.
There you go. So
like the bedtime would be when you were 7 or 8, it would be 7. And then it maybe increase as you get older.
Again, having structure in your life at an early age is very good.
Yeah.
But obviously, Asians, we just didn't have that when we were growing up. Obviously, when we have kids, inshallah, obviously they will have a little bit of structure, go sleep at a certain time so they're refreshed for the next morning. But
if you've got an event, that's going out the window.
No. Yeah. If you have a dawat, you have an engagement party, a mendi, or a wedding, yeah, you could get home at God knows what time, yeah. Because you just have to suffer the next day, that's it. Okay.
Next one.
One thing I found really weird as well. Not weird, but again, fascinating at the same time, because I didn't know anyone did this.
Okay.
I don't know if it's just your mum. Does anyone else freeze milk?
What?
You told me to bring up things, yeah. This is... So when we was in Cornwall, literally last month, for the two months ago.
It's practical.
It is. I have to say, it is very practical. Jan, my mother-in-law, she thinks, oh, it's not going to be open for a while because she's still got another. She'll be like, oh, let's just freeze it. And I'm like, I was like, what? Freeze milk?
And then it's I remember, like a whole 4 pint of milk.
Yeah, and I remember one time Bernard, my father-in-law, love him, and Jan. Jan just asked Bernard, oh, do you want to get the milk out of the freezer? I'm like, what? And then he brought out this massive, obviously it's expanded, it's a massive milk, frozen milk. And they just left it on the side to defrost so that when the milk in the fridge finishes, they've got one ready.
It's so practical, you're never going to run out of milk. If we didn't have, living in London, you have a tiny freezer, it's literally this big. There is so much stuff that I would freeze. The other day I mentioned about freezing rice for meal prepping and Afton's face was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't understand that. I'm like, eat fresh, man.
Okay, I've got one then, related to freezer.
All right, go on.
I have nothing against this, and my mum does have a freezer. But in every South Asian household, there is always an additional, and normally one of those chest freezers. And normally on top of it, there is loads of piles of curries and pans and things, okay? Yeah. And in that freezer, it's not like a mixture of food. It's normally meat or fish.
Literally, it's our... What would you call it?
Storage. Little stock.
Basically, if in a restaurant, you'd have a walk-in freezer with all your produce, right?
Yeah.
Because we don't have that much space. So we'll have a chest freezer and it would just
quite frequently in London, put on a balcony as well.
Balcony, spare room, I've whatever you could
so,
fit.
Yes, yeah. The most random, the hallway. Like, sometimes, I've seen it in many places. And again, no judgment. I get it. It's London. But...
Hey, you got to do what you got to do, man. You got to... Listen, in Asian culture, I can only speak for myself, but probably other Muslim cultures, you go to the halal, which is the butchers, and you literally stock up on your lamb, your beef, and you just freeze it, because, again, you don't want to constantly be going back and forth.
And I think it's also like the quantity of cooking that you do, right? So you need all of that. Like, if you go to Bangladesh, for example, when we went there, I was just so amazed that you could buy an entire fish. Not like a little fish like this, like... an entire fish, and then you just take it to somebody who carves it into little pieces.
Whichever
like,
style you want it as well, whichever way you want it.
Yeah, you can choose how you want it to be cut, and then they're just slicing this, like, frozen fish.
Seeing your face when that was happening.
Am I in a different world? But, like, I get it. It's practical.
Again, look, Asians have big families, and when we host a lot of people. Yeah. So having that much extra, like, fish, you know, meat, chicken or whatever frozen... it's easy. You just get it out, defrost, and then you're ready for the event to cook. And you're done. You know? It's efficient. That's what I say, yeah. Can I go for the next one?
Yeah, go on then. I'm enjoying this.
Dogs are way more important than humans.
I feel like you're referencing everything to do with my mum and stepdad.
No.
It is true.
That is so true, though, because I feel like dogs get... they get taken care of, let's just say.
Yeah.
Like, to the extent where they'll eat better than me.
100%.
I'm not saying my mother-in-law, father-in-law don't feed me well. They do. They always feed me very well. They look after me. But let's just say that, you know, the dogs get...
They're pampered. They're very well loved.
The thing is, I love, obviously, we love animals.
Oh, hello.
Hello. Right on cue.
On cue.
But one thing in one thing in Cornwall, you do know that everyone loves their dogs.
Yeah, it's true. Sorry.
Censored that bit out.
Do you mind, Kaya? But if you guys are not watching this, our cat just joined us and then just put her her bottom area near the camera, didn't you, Moosh?
That's what she thinks of all of you. I'm joking.
It's because we spoke about dogs. She's like...
she's like, nope, it's all about me. But... yeah, in Cornwall specifically, dogs everywhere. Like, literally, it's everyone loves dogs there.
And they're really pampered. They have everything they need. Organic food, all sorts of stuff. All right. Kind of going back to the food topic, actually.
Yeah, go for it.
The size of pans.
But again, it all relates, though, because...
wait, let me explain. These pans are... humongous.
Yeah.
I could probably fit inside some of these pans. They are so big.
But you know what it is, yeah? Some of the... Again, Alex went to one of the Asian stores in Brick Lane in Whitechapel, and you saw that some of the huge ones, like when I mean like the big drums, they are for obviously restaurants and like catering companies. But yes, in our
house... But they're also commonly found in people's houses
as well. Yeah, the slightly smaller, the medium-sized ones, obviously you've never seen
them. By medium, he's downplaying it. It's absolutely massive, these pans. But it's practical.
It's practical. Again, going back to that, when we host people, when we have family coming over or guests coming over and there's a lot of people, you know, it's easy to just cook it in bulk. Again, we give people food to take home as well.
That's so true.
You know, in containers, that's why cooking in big containers is very, very needed.
Yeah.
And our neighbours are always very well fed. We always feed our neighbours. Yeah. You know, we have to. But yeah, that's the reason.
Neighbours, people that are moving, people that just had a baby.
Everyone.
Everyone is... South Asians, I'm talking more about Bangladeshi just because that's my experience, but I think it is really South Asians. They are feeders.
We are.
You will get fed. Also, no, it's not an option.
Mm. Food is our love language.
100%.
You know, we spoke about love languages in the past, I believe.
Don't think this is one of the actual love languages, but I think we should just add it in there.
Yeah. The food is, oh, yeah, it's not, but yeah, it definitely is. Yeah.
Acts of service, but specifically food.
Food, yeah, cook. Okay, do you want me to say another one?
Yeah, go on then.
Obviously, we all know about British cuisine, and it's very beige. Like,
yes.
Okay, spices. Okay, instead of the salt and pepper, you don't really... I thought that was just hearsay, you know, people just make jokes about it. But really and truly, I did find out in the early years, like, you didn't really know much about spices before me.
I like salt and pepper, okay?
Okay, cool.
I like salt and pepper.
But now...
Now, I'm all about the spices. To be honest, when you first started cooking, and I was like, why are you adding in all of this extra stuff? Like, I like my chips as they are, thank you. I like my chicken pie as it is.
Yeah.
Not with Cajun, paprika, turmeric, chili. Like, what? Now that's bland if I don't have that.
But you know what the funny thing is? I remember one time I said, I'll give you some spaghetti bolognese my mum cooked and my sister cooked.
And you're like, this is definitely a fan.
Yeah,
this
yeah. You said, no, but my mum does the same thing as well. You're like, oh, yeah, I love spaghetti bolognese. So I gave you some. And then you're like,
guys,
I remember you're like...
If you're Italian, block your ears.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, spaghetti bolognese, she was eating it and I thought, oh, she loves spaghetti bolognese. I thought she would be like, you know, making all the sounds. Yeah, I'm like enjoying it. But she looked a bit confused. She's like, this tastes like curry. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, this is normal. This is lovely. I love this. She goes, yeah, this isn't your typical spaghetti, is it? I'm like...
It was spicy.
I'm like, Alex, this is normal. This is lovely, isn't it? She goes, no, it's nice, but I didn't expect it to taste like curry. I'm like, well...
Chicken pie.
Spices.
Tastes like curry. Pretty much everything that comes out of your family.
It doesn't
home.
Taste like... No, chicken pie didn't taste like curry. It was just spicy.
Yeah, but like spices.
Okay. True.
It's like spices. Okay.
What's your one? Go on.
Okay. This isn't a negative. I'm here for this one because I'm a bit extra myself sometimes. Everything is an event.
Oh, yeah.
You go to somebody's house, an event. There is a new wife in the family. They get invited everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
There is an event. And when you get invited, there are traditions. You get money. You get mishti, which is like sweets. You go to their house. It has to be a big event, okay? What other things? The mendi. Before you get married, you have a mendi. When you get married, you obviously have the nikah or the wedding, and that's a big deal.
Yeah, there's loads of little traditions that we follow, and it is beautiful. Again, growing up, I used to always attend these, and I didn't understand, but obviously now being married, my auntie, some family members coming to meet you for the first time, they always make sure that you leave with something, give her a gift, some clothes.
Often they'll give you an outfit as well. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think you love that, though.
I do.
Yeah.
I do love that.
It's a very cute tradition to have. Again, it kind of breaks down barriers and everyone kind of meets the new bride and kind of gives it like a very sweet.
It's like a welcome
piece of,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Welcome offering.
Because
yeah.
when you first, for example, if we like talk a little bit about engagements, for example, when you're getting married to somebody in South Asian culture, and I'm saying South Asian because I'm not sure if this is just Bangladeshi, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you'll give a tal, which is like yeah. gifts. So both sides of the family, the groom's family and the bride's family, will prepare these packages of gifts. I imagine back in the day, these are probably food packages, but as obviously time has gone on, it's like more things, like it could be like a bag, a new outfit. I think there's like certain sections, you're meant to give some clothes, some food,
yeah,
some like, yeah.
I think it tiles can really differ depending on which family you're doing. Obviously, some are, again, like you mentioned, food. It will be decorative food. So it will be like, say, strawberries looking like flowers or cut into it. Like, you know what I mean? It will be very stuff like that. And then there will be a few packages and tiles which have like gifts, something that the wife really likes. It could be either clothes, items of you know, like maybe a watch, it could be some, you know, sandals or shoes or, you know what I mean? It could be lots of different things. It's just like a welcome offering, welcome gifts for the new bride, basically.
And the new groom.
It works both ways. So it's a very cute way of doing things and welcoming someone into your family by giving them things that they possibly like and want.
And then also when you are a new bride into a family, the family will give you gold as well, won't they?
Yes. Yeah. And it's that gold is basically meant to be for the new bride, for her to pass on to, you know, her children or, you know, for the future.
And like the ones that we had was like family from the family as well, which for me was like so special because I felt so privileged for my in-laws to give me gold that, you know, was given to them from...
I think it was gifted from my dad and my uncle to my auntie and my mom, and they gifted it to Alex as a gift. And you love wearing them as well.
I love wearing them. They're really beautiful.
But yeah, it's those are some of mine. Oh, also, no, sorry, I have to say,
what?
I didn't realize, like, you know, I don't know about everyone that's watching this or listening to this, what they do. Like, if we have a share a pack of crisps and you can't finish it,
I
would just roll it up and make sure it's tight, or put a little elastic band on it and put it away, right? Being with Alex, I've realised she's got a clip for everything, and they're all different colours.
So, I want to keep it airtight, okay?
No, I know, it's amazing, but I didn't even know these things existed. Now, our house is full of clips. Bread bags.
Yeah.
Crisps. Biscuit. Oh, like everything.
Beeswax, wraps, all sorts of stuff.
You literally know about all of this stuff, and I didn't. It's just opened my eyes up to so much.
Do you know what? I've got one on this, actually. It's kind of related.
God. What was it?
Okay. The fact that any kind of Tupperware repurposed as something else. For example, there may be something in the freezer that looks exactly like delicious ice cream.
And you open
that up, and inside there is no ice cream.
It's probably crushed garlic.
Yeah, garlic and ginger paste or something like
garlic
that.
Garlic and ginger paste. Again, we're efficient. We make our own.
It's resourceful.
It's very resourceful.
It's like eco before eco was even cool.
100%. And again, if you get plastic Tupperware, we don't throw away. Because you know why? We think we could use that to give people food in. Like, you know what I mean? Deliver food in. So, you know, pluses and minuses, because again, house will be full of Tupperware
that looks exciting.
And also lids that don't fit the actual one, so you're constantly trying to find the right lid for the right Tupperware. So yeah, so there's pluses and minuses for each everything, but yeah, that's why we have them.
One thing that is huge in both of our cultures is tea, not dinner tea.
Drinking tea. Oh my, that's what I like though. When I do go to Cornwall to my in-laws, I love the fact that every couple of hours, tea or coffee, anyone? I love that.
Snacks on tap.
Every time. And it reminds me of my family, because you come to my house, it's very similar.
Always tea, handesh,
biscuits,
paratas,
everything, you know? And every time we go back to Cornwall, your mum always has she's always introducing, showing us new things that she's bought from the supermarket or something that she's come across. So you always leave with something you've learnt new.
100%. And my mum, although it's not giving packages of curry, whenever we leave our house, we're always leaving it with stuff.
There's always
something. It could be bedding, it could be a whole array of things, different types of food. We're very blessed.
We are very blessed.
Beautiful family. But if you guys have any cultural differences or things that you have noticed that you think are completely wild or just really interesting, pop them down in the comments, send us a message, send us a DM.
Love to hear it.
We love to hear about it. Again, we love hearing about all different cultures. If you have any traditions in your culture, let us know. If it's anything similar to our cultures, drop it in the comments. And yeah, share this video, like it, subscribe if you are enjoying our conversations.
Make sure you check us out on Instagram and TikTok, colour-coded, C-U-L-R-C-O-D-E-D. And we'll see you in the next one. Bye.